This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with Lumsu and today in the studio. Before the break, we were talking about Design for Change Malaysia and how they are running a series of programs together with government schools here in Malaysia on teaching empathy within our schools. It is International Day of Education today, and that's something that we are celebrating across the station here on BFM. And so our second story as well is about education. So as we said earlier, International Day of Education aims to celebrate the many ways that learning can empower people, preserve the planet, build shared prosperity, and foster peace. One aspect of education that has been branded controversial, although we certainly don't believe it is sex and sexuality education. So the benefits of sex education is often not realistically discussed because of the fears and myths that so often surround this topic.
Yeah, and advocating for sex education and the benefits of contraception is often seen by conservative members of society as promoting free sex and encouraging promiscuity. Our youth are often taught that abstinence and purity are the absolute most important things about them as a person, and the exploration of one's sexual identity is generally a no-go zone for them. Mm-hmm. And no, don't even think about discussing the or distributing contraceptives to them. But pushing the abstinence-only message is... it's outdated, it's flawed, and for many reasons. So young people nowadays have such easy access to all sorts of information,
right,
as well as misinformation on the internet. And their behaviors and values are changing so much more rapidly than the teachers and policymakers. It's as quickly as information is put out on the internet.
Mm. And here in Malaysia, our Deputy Education Minister, Teo Ni Ching, has acknowledged that sex education is still a taboo subject in Malaysian society. It's not even named as a school subject. Instead, it's included under physical education and health education classes. So Women, Family and Community Development Deputy Minister Hannah Yeo did, however, say last year that a sex education syllabus is in the works. And this is after statistics show that sexual activity amongst our Malaysian students is on the rise. So in relation to that, statistics provided by the Health Ministry from 2019 showed that there were 3,927 pregnancy cases among unmarried teenagers. So last year's numbers also showed that 59.4% of antenatal cases came under the 18 to 19-year-old category, followed by 38.1% of 15 to 17-year-olds. So it's noted that 2.5% of those came from those who belong to the 10 to 14-year-old category.
And if that's not enough statistics for you, here are more. The government recorded 1,010 cases of baby dumping between 2010 and May 2019. And of these cases, 64% of the babies were found dead, with most of the victims being newborns and the rest were fetuses. And most babies were abandoned in places like near residential areas, while others were left in public toilets and at rubbish dump sites. And I think we've seen these news often enough being reported.
Yep.
And one young girl who was arrested after dumping her newborn baby responded that she had to do what she did because she wasn't married. And that fact that she wasn't married to both her and her family was the greatest sin of all.
Mm. So child rights and women groups have long called for sex education in schools and have said that there is a need to have information on safe sex, such as a comprehensive sex education system that's in place. And education is empowerment. And if you're unsure of your own sexual and reproductive health rights, you will always be at a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
So a case in point, there was a landmark report in 2018 from the Guttmacher Lancet Commission on Sexual and Reproductive Health and Rights for All, which highlighted the significant obstacles facing adolescents, particularly those aged 10 to 14 years. So this report said that a lack of information and access to services can especially leave girls and young women vulnerable and unable to protect themselves from unwanted pregnancies, from sexually transmitted infections, including HIV, as well as from pregnancy and childbirth-related complications. happens.
Yeah, and girls and young women who live in poverty, in crisis or emergency settings, or even if they or those who belong to vulnerable and excluded groups face even greater barriers to having that right to decide and control what happens to their bodies, including the timing and spacing of any children that they plan to have. Mm-hmm. And so a 2008 United Nations report found that comprehensive sex ed, when taught effectively, allows young children to explore their attitudes and values and to practice the decision-making and other life skills they will need to be able to make informed choices about their sexual lives.
So here in Malaysia, we do have a movement called the Soroptimist Puberty Organizing Toolkit, or SPOT for short, and they focus on providing comprehensive sexuality education. They were founded back in 2015, and their programs encourage young women to develop a positive attitude towards sexual and reproductive health, as well as skills to further their personal and social development. So SPOT is very aware of the diverse and nuanced cultural sensibilities and sensitivities that happen here in Malaysia. Mm. So as such, they have remained firm that scientifically accurate knowledge must be shared. And they do this respectfully and carefully through their modules, which are designed in alignment with the international technical guidance of sexuality education, with the active participation of children, psychologists, counselors, parents, religious leaders, and educators.
Yeah, and so our colleague Juliet Jacobs reached out to Siti Aisha Hassan Hasri, who is the founder and lead program developer of SPOT, to get her thoughts on why educating girls on sexual education is important. So Juliet started off by asking Aisha what led to her establishing SPOT in Malaysia in the first place.
So I was in a situation where many a times as a young girl, I actually felt hopeless and felt worthless. And I felt that there was no one there to guide me. So I actually asked myself that question, what did I wish I knew back then, I suppose, and I worked towards answering it. But the moment when I realized that this is very much needed was when I was still studying in University of Malaya. Mm-hmm. I actually volunteered as an enumerator for a flagship project with the UMMC. I was supposed to collect data on diseases among urban communities. So I had access to families living in PBR complexes. And I was tasked to gather all this information for these medical doctors and researchers, right? Mm-hmm. And from that experience, I discovered a lack of awareness among the families and especially the young people. And it was, I don't know, I felt that it was quite dangerous, their outlook on the topic of sex and sexuality. Kan? Mm-hmm. And somehow, also, there are certain culture or mindset, and it had unfortunately helped to perpetuate the practice of child marriage as a you know, legitimate solution to sexual impropriety, for example.
That's right.
And then I also realized that they were extremely vulnerable to predators and abusers because they're often left alone. The children are often left alone and unsupervised for long periods of time because the parents are working. Sometimes, you know, even if the mom is upstairs, she's occupied and the children are just, you know, being left downstairs by themselves.
Yeah, to their own devices.
So
yeah.
After that, I you know, started my own research on what's available in Malaysia. And then I started, talking to some people on how to address menstrual hygiene. Of course, then came up with my own module to help prevent child sexual abuse, to reduce unsafe sex practices, especially amongst young people. And of course, prevent pregnancies and child marriages.
And, you know, can you explain how SPOT works exactly? I mean, like, who do you reach out to and how do you sort of run your classes and who are your target audience as such?
We provide comprehensive sexuality education. It's a preventative effort in addressing teen pregnancies and STIs among children predominantly. Yeah, and the SPOT programs are approved to run in schools by the Ministry of Education. We also work with LPPKN and the Ministry of Health. What we do is we train our volunteers into SPOT trainers and facilitators. Mm-hmm. Then our SPOT trainers and facilitators go into schools and deliver the programs We have programs for upper primary, for lower secondary, for upper secondary. We also have programs for parents and, of course, for the volunteers. Now, mainly, our volunteers are university students, mm-hmm. public and private. But we pride ourselves as, having our volunteers from the ages of 7 to 77.
Wow.
Anyone can volunteer as well, as long as, you know, we're working towards addressing the goal together mm-hmm. in an unbiased and neutral approach.
Mm-hmm.
So we also provide Spotline. Spotline is our 24/7 Q&A hotline. Where you are welcome, the public's welcome to submit questions regarding sexual and reproductive health,
mm-hmm.
and they will be answered by our panel of experts.
Mm-hmm.
And really, our strength is in collaboration with people, with international school students, for example, with university students, and also with community organizers. That's what we do. We work with everyone who wants to work with us.
That's wonderful. But I do understand that when you were introducing Spot to the public, you know, at first, that was quite challenging. Why? What sort of challenges did you face and how did you sort of gain more support for the initiative?
I think the challenges were mainly the stigma that people have, when it comes to sex.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about it. And everything that surrounds that. Just nobody wants to talk about sex. Nobody wants to talk about sex with their children. And children don't want to talk to their parents about sex. So I think that was the main issue. And it's not normal for us, in our community, in our society, to actually address it. I don't know. I actually think we all work with people who understand that educating young people, giving them the knowledge, the right attitude and the right skills
mm-hmm.
Is a solution that will benefit all, you know, not just the kids themselves, as an adult later and they have their own family, but it's also, you know, the nation at large,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this is a global situation. It's not just specific to Malaysia.
That's right.
You know, mm-hmm. and as a matter of fact, there was a meeting that Spot was involved in, the technical working group with UNICEF and all the three ministries of education, women and community development, as well as health,
mm-hmm.
NGOs who's been working on this subject, educating young people on sexual and reproductive health for many years, way longer than we have, that it was highlighted that 179 countries around the world, Malaysia included, had actually made a commitment to provide universal access to sexual and reproductive health. That means it's supposed to be for all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know... especially for adolescents, for young people in Malaysia, it's supposed to be a right for everyone. So I don't see not being able to talk about something as a challenge anymore, I think, with the backup of all these studies and researches that's been done. I believe, you know, it's addressing these conversations are the way to move forward instead of seeing it as a challenge. It used to be a challenge, but no longer.
Oh, that's so promising to hear, you know, because speaking about sex and sex education, especially, it's so frowned upon by many segments of Malaysian society. I mean, that whole thing, you know, if we teach them about sex, they're going to go out and have sex. You know, that's that archaic thinking, right? I mean, and what do you think is the fallout of that sort of culturally entrenched thinking? You know, how do we break out of that?
So I believe that sex education can never be complete without the right mindset.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many misconceptions surrounding sex education. And I am one of the many agents in this world who promote the positive benefits from sex education.
Mm.
And obviously, we, as these agents of change, we know that sex education does not increase sexual activity, it does not increase risk-taking behavior or STI or HIV infection rates, for example. Mm-hmm. It, as a matter of fact, delays the initiation of sexual intercourse and, of course, reduce risk-taking behaviors in young people and increased use of condoms and other forms of contraception. So, you know, I think the result of sex education speaks for itself. And I think... I'm very sure within 5 to 10 years' time, we will actually benefit from having individuals and organizations invest in education, in sex education for our children. Mm-hmm. So the results will eventually speak for itself.
Yeah, it's just kind of like getting everybody on board and getting on, you know, just getting everybody on that right track, right, to sort of change that mindset.
The thing is, sex education is also a lifelong conversation, you know. It starts with simple concepts and it builds over time as the individual's capacity to understand increases. It begins with, say, laying the foundations with young children by teaching them about bodily autonomy, how to say no, how to differentiate safe touches from unsafe touches, mm-hmm. you know, and why we start at the age of adult primary, 9 to 12 years old, because that is a great time to build healthy habits and lifestyle relating to sex, because it is a period of ongoing physical, emotional, and social change due to puberty,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sex education actually helps young people to explore safely and develop strong, healthy relationships outside of family, because you don't have them with you all the time. So it's good to educate them so that they know, you know. And sex education is a human right, as I mentioned just now. So, mm-hmm. of course, addressing it is complex because we as human beings are complex. And but that should never stop us, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, just as a final message, you know, what would you like to say to anyone who doesn't believe that sex education is an integral part of a child's education?
Imagine this scenario. What would you do if you, as a parent, one day get a call from your child's school asking you to see the principal? Your 6-year-old boy was found performing oral sex on his classmate, another 6-year-old boy, in the toilet, in school. Mm-hmm. Is your child at fault? Or is his friend at fault? You know, what had happened under your hawk-eyed supervision that led to this behavior in your absence? As a parent, how could you have saved your child from such a situation? Would you not have educated your child? Mm-hmm. So imagine you being in this situation, and I think if you can, you would definitely be promoting sexual education for children.
Yeah, because I think a lot of parents think that, you know, if I don't talk to them about it, they're not going to find out about it. But the fact is, you know, children have so much access to the internet, to social media, you know, to so many things that parents can't monitor 24/7. So their
Correct.
Children are so much smarter than them
yes,
at their age,
yes,
right?
So true. It's what they do in your absence that scares us the most, actually.
Exactly. Mm. So that's the problem, right? So, you know, parents need to keep up with the times as well and not just assume that, you know, what worked for them 30, 40 years ago is going to work in this for this generation.
Very true. Very true, Juliet.
Okay, all right. And, you know, if anyone would like to get in touch with you to become a volunteer or to, you know, support your work in any way, what's the best way that they can do that?
Oh, yes. Please get in touch with us if you're on Facebook at Spot Community. If you have an Instagram account, do follow us at Hello Spot Girl. And do come and visit our website. It's hellospotgirl.com. And... or you can also email us, hellospotgirl@gmail.com to get in touch and see how we can collaborate and educate.
That was Siti Aisha Hassan Hasri, who is the founder and lead program developer of Spot. Mm-hmm. You know, some really, really interesting and insightful things that she says, right? Mm-hmm. I think that main thing that we are as a society, we hope that, we like to think that our children are forever innocent and protected from, you know, this big bad of sexuality, for instance. But they're not. And we live in a world where if we don't teach them, they will learn it and most likely not in the right way from so many other sources.
Yeah, and especially in today's world with the internet literally right at your fingertip, almost every kid that you see on the streets, in the shopping malls, are hooked to a handphone.
Yeah.
So and as many parental controls as you put on that, kids can find ways to circumvent that. They are not necessarily completely foolproof. And then if you don't talk to your kids about it, they may not necessarily understand what they accidentally stumble upon on the internet as well. Because we've also talked about instances where kids' websites can also hide certain things that just slip under the radar. So I think there's a lot. I think it's important that we address this in schools where it is a setting where kids can actually ask questions about it and talk to someone who can explain sex education to them.
Do you remember having any sort of semblance of sex education or, was it taught for you? Because we went to schools at different times. Mm-hmm. And I'm slightly older than you. did you learn anything under your health education or phys ed that you remember?
No.
Okay. No, so that came after your time then?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember anything. Nothing really stands out in my mind. Because I remember when we learned biology in Form 4, Form 5, right? It's very factual almost. It's like, okay, these are your reproductive organs. These are contraceptives.
Mm.
So there is mention of that. But it's very just like that lah. You know, you don't talk too much about it. The teachers just sort of go through the syllabus, and it's not necessarily on the teacher's fault either, because that is how the curriculum is.
Mm-hmm.
And it will take a lot of changes to change that, and then also for teachers to learn how they can talk about this to kids as well.
Yeah, and that's actually key as well, isn't it? Because you have a whole range of teachers with a whole range of experiences and opinions on how this should be taught.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it is important that it be done in a comprehensive way where everyone involved is aware of how to treat the subject, rather than to impose your own idea of morality or right or wrong onto this, but rather to think about what would benefit the student the most.
Yeah.
So that is actually all the time we have today for today's show. But if you want to continue to share your thoughts with us on this, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Or you can look us up on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture, and you can drop us a message there. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest on the BFM app or on Spotify. But first, we will leave you with A Change Would Do You Good by Sheryl Crow on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.